What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine.
And Caroline.
Today, I want to talk about third spaces because not only is this something that I think about a lot, but I've been thinking about it a lot recently as we're in a new spot. Obviously, Carol and I, if you've listened to the past few episodes, we're in San Diego for like 6 weeks. And with that, we've been learning a lot of new spots, finding some spots we like and maybe spots that we don't like and don't want to go back to. But I feel like I've been returning to a lot of different spots, like coffee shops, restaurants, like beaches even. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'm like, I'm chatting with people. I'm recognizing people. Obviously, we've been here for 3 weeks. It's not like, oh my God, I have so many connections and like friends and I'm a regular here. But I do like the feeling of, I went to the coffee shop the other day and the guy was like, wait, I recognize you. Were you here yesterday? And I was like, this morning, actually.
Oh, you're like, oh, actually, it's just my second time today. No, so I look super familiar.
My friend started working. Well, I went there in the morning, which I've been going to this one coffee shop very frequently and I love it. And I love being a regular at a local coffee shop. Like, it's so sick.
It is nice.
But my friend had her first day of work there. She like happened to start working there. So I was like, oh, I'll swing by and say hi. And then the owner of the shop who was training her was like, wait, I recognize you.
Aw.
That's awesome.
No, it is really nice to feel comfortable and familiar in a place. And like, you almost start to kind of like build a storyline in your mind. Like, it's not a random place. You're like, oh, I went and I had this conversation and I saw this person and this is what I did there. And it's also nice to know that you have reliable spaces you can go to. That has been the one thing with my kind of bouncing around this year is that I do feel like I keep restarting and relearning new places. And especially in New York City, where there's just such an abundance of places. It kind of took me a while to find the few that I was going to return to and keep going back to. And so like it does kind of take time, but you feel so much more like comfortable and on top of your life when you have places that you know you can go. Similarly, now that we're in San Diego, I went for a run this morning and I wanted to explore a different area. And so I went to, like, if anyone knows San Diego, to Sunset Cliffs, like Ocean Beach area. And I don't have a car here, so I had to take an Uber there. And I was like, Logie, this is embarrassing. The guy's just dropping me off on the cliff. Like, okay.
That's hilarious.
I was definitely a little uncomfortable because I was like, I actually don't know this path at all. I don't know how far it goes. And it's a little bit trail runny-esque where you're kind of weaving in and out and there's choices to make. And I was like, wait, I hate how
directionally challenged. Yeah.
But I was like, I hate how uncomfortable I am because I love exploring new places. But I was like, ugh, this is going to be really nice when I do it a few times and then I come back and I like know the route and I'm familiar with it. And so it also made me think of that concept of like having reliable third spaces. And I think you think of it a lot when you don't have that and when you're trying to find those.
Yeah, I think a lot of the like, obviously a lot of the learning happens in the process, but when you're becoming a regular at a place, especially intentionally, because it's not like, yeah, of course you can happen to become a regular. And most people don't say, I want to become a regular at this XYZ place, I'm going to start going there. It's mostly just you like a place, you keep going back, and slowly you continue going back. But this is kind of like our conversation on friendships a while back. The first time hanging out with someone or like, you know, meeting someone, it's very easy. It's very scripted. You know exactly what's going to happen. Like there's, you know, you've had the same conversation with a million different people. Where are you from? What do you do? What are you interested in? Like, blah, 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 blah. It's the second and third time when you have to actually start putting in the effort.
So the second time's the hardest.
When you actually have to, you know, you're on your own, you have to build connections. This is still talking about friendships, but then moving it into this kind of third space idea, the first time you go somewhere, you're not really expecting much of it. You know, you're just testing it out, maybe the first few times. But then the more you keep going, you start, that's when it gets challenging, because you're like, at what point do the baristas recognize me, or does the guy checking us in at the yoga studio recognize me?
And at what time am I supposed to like actually form a relationship here and get to know a person rather than just being somebody passing through?
When do you move from like a shy smile passing to being like, hey Caroline, how are you? Would you know what I mean? That's a pretty undefined jump, and it obviously is going to happen at different times for different places, but it's kind of a similar thought process of making friends. The easiest part is saying, I want to make friends, and the easiest part is trying to make friends. The hardest part is building that relationship and keeping them. Mm-hmm. So similarly, it's very easy to say, hey, I want to add a third space into my life and explore what those third spaces might be, or say, I liked that coffee shop, I liked that workout studio, I liked that beach, I'm going to keep going to there because I simply enjoyed it. The hard part, if you want to, and if that's like your goal and you're interested in creating a community and creating kind of like the idea of being a regular, making this place your third space, the hard part is taking that jump and waiting and being patient and like putting in the effort. And I talk about the friends that I made, kind of my home friends, but it was in college because I didn't have a very strong friend group, or, you know, I hopped around a lot.
Yeah. And Catherine and I left our hometown after high school and like did not have friends in the first couple summers and stuff. Going back, it was like low-key lonely and horrible. So yeah. I applaud Catherine for putting herself out there.
Thank you. I hated every second of it in the beginning.
Like finding other spaces years. And putting herself out there and meeting people. And like it has built the friend group that she and now I get to benefit from a bit as well. Which, having home.
Which I credit to Third Spaces and continuing to show up places, which was so difficult. And I look back now and I'm like, wow, how crazy that I'm friends with these people and I have really good relationships with a lot of people that I made more recently in the last like 4 years. I'm thinking the first 2 years, the first, you know, summer was like, oh my God, hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Second, it was like, you know them, but you kind of don't. Even one of our friends that we have here in San Diego, I was thinking back to, I happened to be here like 3 years ago and my friend was also here and he was like, oh, let's all hang out, do whatever. I'm like, hey, God, like, hey,
it was like far
and thinking
more timid.
Back to the fact that it doesn't even cross my mind, the fact that I showed up and like introduced myself to her after a year of knowing her. You know what I mean? Mm. That we spent a year or two of being like kind of knowing of each other, mutual friends. And then it just slowly grows. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's the same thing with literally everything. Mm. So especially when you're becoming comfortable in a new space or a new hobby or a new thing you do, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of patience. But that's so rewarding because then when you get to show up to a new space that's not home or work, because a third space, your first space is home, your second space is work, and your third space is something else, which I think a big problem with everyone working from home, now we just have work, we just have home.
Yeah.
And because we're there so often and home and work are often similar, we don't want to go outside. And also like no one wants to go spend $100,000 at a restaurant or like do all these things, which there are so many free activities or like low cost activities that are really fun that we could be doing, but that takes effort. So a lot of the times if we're working from home, if we're at home all the time, we don't necessarily want to like take the jump and go do a lot of things. And maybe all of our friends are in different places financially and interest wise where it makes it hard to go do those other things. It makes it really hard to seek out a third space or even for kind of our generation seek out a second space, which now we're just changed to home and it's so not motivating to be like, oh, I'm just gonna pop out here because you're not already out. I mean the days that I work from home versus the days that I've worked from an office, I'm like, oh, let's go grab lunch outside, let's go even just like sit outside to eat lunch or walk here, and you interact with so many other people. That's so different.
And I also think, sorry not to cut you off, but it puts the pressure on as well. I was thinking, you know, I have been working for myself for the past year, which is very different from me always having school, always having like jobs and things where you have to be in an office. And I was reflecting recently that, like, there is no longer a fire under my ass to, like, go to the gym first thing in the morning and then commute and then do all this before the 9 a.m. start, because I don't have to get ready to present myself in an office. I just have to get back home and start my stuff. And if I'm late, it's on me and that's my thing. And then I can work later. And
which is kind of similar if you work from home. It's like there's not as much of a pressure to, like, put in the extra effort.
Yeah.
And I am a true believer of when you're busy, it's so much easier to get busier if you want to get busier. Like people always say, if you want something done, give it to the busiest person because they're just going to be like, boom, 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 get it done.
Yeah, no, and I kind of miss that.
Oh my God, now I just doubled my to-do list by 100% because you move from one thing to two things.
I miss being like, I have to get my ass up and I have to go to the gym and I have to be effective in my workout and then I'm going to shower and I'm going to get ready because I want to present myself well and then I'm going to show up to an office and I'm going to interact with people. Mm-hmm. Like, to have other places to do things, even just the act of commuting and going from one place to another and getting yourself ready and presenting yourself, like, it's a thing. Yeah. Like, that's life.
Yeah. But once you get over the hump of, like, I'm going to start going to these places, and a lot of it, it's not, I'm not saying you have to have one specific place that you go to, but to a certain extent, if you're bopping around and doing something, like, even if it's, hey, after work, do you want to go grab a drink? Do you want to go do this? Let's go for a walk. Let's walk home together. My coworker and I used to walk home together because we were reasonably in the same direction.
So nice.
And like, how fun is that? And then maybe sometimes we'd stop and like get something to eat or, you know, but it's just an enjoyable thing to connect with people and change your location. It freshens up your mind, which I think is really, really important.
Even at the office I used to work at, like people would get together and do morning workouts. And so because there was a gym in the office. And so there was a lot of us that were like training for High Rocks at the same time. And people would come together and structure the workout routine. And it was fun.
Yeah, I will say this conversation prompted because as I was thinking about what we were going to talk about today, a couple days ago, my friends and I went to go play pool like Wednesday night. Okay. Dive bar Wednesday night. And one of their friends plays pool there very consistently. Like that's his third space.
He's there all the time. He references it all the time.
All the time.
He's like, oh, on Wednesday when I was at X bar, oh, I met that girl at X bar. Every story he has comes from this bar.
But it's so funny. I'm like, I popped in on a Wednesday night.
I applaud your consistency.
It's awesome. And it's all just like the crew that stays going there, the like regulars table. Like, this is just seven of the most random people that you could have put in a room together, but they all like, do they know each other's names? Not particularly. Do they know everything about that person? And they're like, oh, how was your this ex doctor's appointment? How was this? I'm like, I love that. You guys have no idea how much I love that shit. It was so fun. I'm like, the age range was, I was probably the youngest, and then I was playing pool with like an 85-year-old man. It was the best time ever.
Hell yeah.
And it was just so fun. But to be able to show up to these places, one, it gets you out of the house, which I think is huge. Just to like give you some stimulation. I think we've been so lacking stimulation. And I will say, we're coming out of it. The world is healing with that.
Conversations that I've had with so many different people is all like, we gotta stop, you know, like, get off the internet. We've gotta have fun. We've gotta be for real. Yeah. And I don't think it's everyone. I don't know. Maybe it's gonna be kind of polarized and people are gonna go in different directions. But like, I'm so sick of performative shit. I'm so sick of like social climbing. I saw another thing that was like, people don't even just like get to know a person and their personality anymore. It's like, what do you do? What can I get from you? What can I, you know, like, there's just so much of that energy. And it's like, can we just strip it back and just play pool with the guy who's there and crack a conversation with whoever's around and just like have some personality?
I learned
and enjoy
a lot
yourself.
About Harley's last
night. Those are the most fun moments where you don't plan and then you're like, what's the most popular space that we can go to where the cool people are going to be? But like when you pop into somewhere that's like down to earth and you actually talk to people and communicate, like, that's the cool kind of third space to go to.
What were we talking about? There was a bar in New York that, you know, it was like the trending bar of the month. You know how they have that happens.
It happens.
Which is so fair. But some of our friends were like, oh my God, let's, and I wasn't there, but anecdotally, I knew that some of our friends were like, we have to go here. Let's go here. It's the newest hit bar. Of course.
Let me tell
you,
I went with them. It wasn't fun.
Not fun. You stand in line and it's a bunch of the same like facey people standing in line for some bar that
everyone
TikTok
saw it on TikTok.
It. Yeah. And then you're waiting and then you go in and inside everyone's still standing around. Yeah. Like, that is not my idea of fun. If it is your idea of fun, by all means, go do your idea of fun. Make that your space. Get out of the house. Do whatever makes you actually happy. To me, consistently going to these like third spaces where you can actually connect with people and just like relax. Like, that's so relaxing rather than being in your house and watching New Girl, which we've been doing semi a lot of. Like, I don't watch that much TV, but I feel like we've watched New Girl.
We've thrown New Girl up a few times.
A bit around here with our friends. But, like, is that relaxing? Yeah. Is scrolling on your phone, quote unquote, relaxing? Yeah. Is, like, reading a book at home relaxing? Yeah. But it's less mentally stimulating, and it feeds into that mental numbness that we're trying to get away from. You guys have heard about screen-free Sundays. You've heard, I actually read two studies. One of them, I think, was from Georgetown.
Okay,
don't quote
study.
Me on this. It was, like, a clinical thing. But early onset dementia increased by like 400%.
Oh God, I believe
because
it.
Because of everyone
I believe
doom scrolling,
it.
Which is terrifying and obviously makes sense. Like, I'm sure we're gonna have so many problems. And
so
again,
many problems.
I say this all the time. Not a neuroscientist. Not an expert in anything. I'm just talking.
I just think it's what's the term? See, now I'm brain dead because probably the doom scrolling did it to me. What is the term? Common
the
sense.
Scrolling.
Common sense is the term I was looking for. I don't think you need to be a neuroscientist to say, oh yeah,
phones
probably we're going to have more dementia. I think that's honestly common sense at this point.
Yeah. But then there's another thing that is for people who reduce their screen time to 2 hours, screen time reduced to 2 hours per day.
Oh.
It was like 91% of their cognitive function improved.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those numbers could be wrong. However, you get the gist of it. Speaking of third spaces, we obviously have home is the first space, work is the second space, which those two are kind of merged now, which I think we're doing ourselves a disservice. And I love working from home, okay?
I love a hybrid scenario.
Yes.
Give me like one or two extra days at home, but like there is something
there's
to be said about going
working
somewhere.
In an office or working at an external location, you build relationships with people, you talk to people, you learn a lot more. You're not just in your little bubble. And I love being in my little bubble, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I think we're doing ourselves a disservice by consistently keeping ourselves in our little bubbles, which having these third spaces helps you get out of those little bubbles. Mm-hmm. Even I went to a coffee shop this morning and I've been to the same. This is not the coffee shop that I'm becoming a regular at, by the way, but I've gone to this other one. There was a line because it was like 8 a.m. and I left the gym and I was walking there. So I got in line and this older gentleman who was he was probably like 85 and he was there with who I can only imagine was his son. And I walked past him and he.
Sorry, I was just thinking about how in this episode you have referenced two different 85 year old men.
Very different too. Like, very different too.
I don't know if it's ever been done before. It's and then never, twice yeah. in 5 minutes we yeah. have heard.
You see, you get outside, you meet the most unexpected people, and you hear the most unexpected stories. Like, that's the shit that keeps the world spinning. I'm so dead ass. But I'm standing in line, or I'm going to get in line, and this 85-year-old gentleman said, "Good morning, have a good day." And I said, "Thank you, you too. I'm hopping in line right with you," because he was in line. And then we stood in the line, and while we were waiting there, the barista came in, and from, like, she walked behind, so she couldn't see him, and she just goes, "Hey, Larry," like, "Good morning, Larry," as in he obviously goes there very consistently, to the point where they're just saying hi to him, popping in, and like, they know his order, and they're like, "You want a blueberry scone today?" He's like, "No, I think I'll do this," and I'm like,
oh,
guys, this is like the best. It's just interesting. Yeah. It's motivating. It's like, it just gives you a little head of positivity, which I think is really important. Again, it's just adding some good stimulation back to our brains and back to our lives, rather than keeping ourselves sequestered at home and talking to no one that we don't know. And all these people,
I was gonna say, you say talking to no one you don't know, I think obviously in this conversation I feel like it has come up so much in what we're referencing, that it's not just going to a space and like going to other places, but like, honestly, a huge part of this is the act of just talking to strangers and making conversation.
I love talking to strangers.
That's huge. I honestly, when we were saying that, I was like, I feel like we could do an entire episode
how to talk to about strangers.
About the power of like just being able to strike up conversations with different people.
It's huge.
And I don't even think like I'm amazing at it. I definitely, at a lot of events and a lot of days, will keep to myself, but you can find a connection, find something with anybody. And it is truly crazy, like, the amount of stories that I feel like we could pull out by being like, oh, I just started a conversation with this person when we were there. Like, we were at a bar in Paris randomly 2 years ago, and the guy sitting at the bar next to us was eating alone, and Captain and I start talking to him, and he's like also from Massachusetts, and we knew mutual people.
We
and
were neighbors. So we were literally neighbors in Boston. Yeah, and his wife so and I worked random. In the same building.
Like, so random. Yeah. And even just yesterday at this one coffee shop that Catherine references that she's been going to, I strike up a conversation with the barista, and she was like, "You look really familiar. Where'd you go to undergrad?" And I was like, "Northeastern." And she was like, "Me too." And it turns out that we were in the same graduating class at school, and we had mutuals. And like, all of these connections, like, you wouldn't know if you didn't just actually speak to somebody, because I could have just transactionally got my coffee, and a lot of the time I do.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I just had a conversation, and then you figure out, like, oh my God.
And it's obviously been easy. I'm in a, like, net new place. I don't know anyone. So I'm like, I don't care who I talk to. I don't have anyone else to talk to. So I may as well, like, smile at the stranger next to me and say, "I like your sunglasses," or, you know, if you're friendly and you just, like, put on a happy face, which I know I have a resting bitch face sometimes, but typically if I'm, like, more present and aware in a scenario, I'm going to smile at strangers 100% of the time. And then often they'll strike up the conversation with you. It doesn't always have to be you, you know, running up to strangers and, like, begging them to make conversation with you. Like, if you're just open and more, it has so much to do with confidence. And that's why I think this is so helpful in building confidence and building your personality and just, like, having a good foundation. Because absolutely having a third space, a place that you can go and feel really comfortable at, a place where, say it's a coffee shop, you can go and, like, feel totally fine and not stressed if you're sitting there doing work for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a gym, you can feel totally fine going and, like, trying something new without feeling uncomfortable, or like going at a different time, or like just giving it your all, or going and not giving it your all.
I haven't told anyone this yet, but Catherine and I are planning a trip back to Hong Kong in September. We lived there for 4 years growing up, which I feel like I reference somewhat often on the podcast because it shaped so much of why I love to travel and just who I am. To be fair, it's like a very important part of my life, especially by rebuilding the Mandarin that I lost after moving back to the US for high school. You guys know I love and use Rosetta Stone for Mandarin in general, but instead of doing it more casually, I've been committing more often recently because I have this trip that I'm looking ahead to. Instead of memorizing random vocabulary words or constantly translating everything back to English, Rosetta Stone immerses you directly in the language. You learn by connecting words with images and context, and then gradually build those words into phrases and full sentences, which feels like a much more natural way to learn a language. They also have this true accent feature, which I find super helpful, especially with Mandarin when you're working with all different types of tones. It gives you real-time feedback on your pronunciation. Which is super helpful because I think understanding Mandarin has always come back more easily for me than confidently speaking it. So having a way to actually practice speaking out loud has been really helpful. And I know I'm not going to become fluent again overnight, but every lesson does make me feel a little more connected to the language and place that were such a big part of my childhood. And now that I have this trip on the calendar, it's given me even more motivation to stay consistent. If you're ready to start your language learning journey, head to rosettastone.com and use code TODAY to get started. That's rosettastone.com/today.
If you're so really tired that day. I think the two biggest third spaces for me have always been local cafe and the gym. If you're going to like a free weight, just like open gym, if you go at the same time, you often see the same people and the same people are working there. And then you slowly are like, hey, how are you? What'd you do today? What are you hitting today? What's this? And then you just slowly like connect with people. And it doesn't have to be, I know everything about this person. They are now my best friend. I want them to be my best friend. No, it can literally be, I know this person from the gym. And like, that's it. We smile and say hi to each other. Everyone needs a group of those people in their lives that just like, and then when you see them, you're like, oh, that's nice. And then I'm putting a little extra pep in my step in the gym or whatever.
The guy that signed me up for the gym here, he gave me his business card and I texted him yesterday to, I want to get in Catherine a guest pass so she can come with me. And then he followed me on Instagram and I followed him back.
Okay, that's nice.
That's nice. Because I sent it to him too. And I was like, if this helps to get my sister a guest pass, I could also post
the
about
truth
it.
Comes out.
But then he followed me and I followed him back. So whatever. And I'm starting to build my community.
That's great.
Okay, this may be potentially a hot take, but run clubs have become like really, really huge. Like there's run clubs everywhere. Everyone, their mother has a run club. I don't always know if I love a run club as a third space. And I think it's very hit or miss because I've had experiences that have been really, really great. I've also never gone to the same run club consistently, which I think is a thing. And I think that that's when you build it. But
I understand that's a very intimidating space to walk into.
It's an intimidating space, especially to show up alone. I will say the times that I have really enjoyed myself at run clubs are when I've shown up with at least one other friend. Because then, you know, and I think that goes for any kind of club or event type thing that you're going to. It makes it more comfortable if you're showing up with a person that you're comfortable with. And also typically in those scenarios, like especially when I was in Boston and it was like school affiliated or city affiliated and I'd lived there for 5 years, then, you know, I would recognize other people or my friend would know other people and introduce me. And then you have people to have conversations with. But I went to the Pacific Beach Run Club here literally the first Saturday that we got here. And I will say I was very, very grateful that I had a friend come with me because I would have had a really tough time being there alone because it was an intimidatingly large crowd. There were probably more than 100 people there, like no doubt, honestly. We definitely lost the plot of running a little bit because there were so many people.
That was crazy.
I was like four times during a 5K, so it just kind of felt like you never got in the flow of running and I never really got into conversations with other people.
The entire group stopped to go to the bathroom, which if you... Whoever needs to stop at a 5K, stop at a 5K. If you're going to piss your pants during a 5K, go.
Oh my God.
What?
They were just collecting the group because it was such a big mass.
It was
they
just so interesting that it was the entire group was stopping every half mile and the entire group went to the bathroom. Longest 5K ever. I was planning accordingly and it took like an hour rather than, you know, people will start trickling in. Like, I don't know how long a 5K takes.
So I wanted to make a point about run clubs because I actually feel like settings like that, a more intimate group that is actually going to like run together and do the thing together and then have conversations is better than a giant group where there are so many people. You don't talk to anyone really because you just assume that other people know other people, or it's just this abundance of like, whoa, what's going on? And people don't immediately recognize that like you're a new person and welcome you in. That happened sometimes. I felt that way when we were in Australia and when I went to some of the Sydney run clubs, I was like, this just feels like a group of people running at the same time, but it's a huge, massive group and it is not all that cohesive. Mm-hmm. So I will say like, don't get discouraged your first time trying something because there's a lot of different groups out there. And I think the experience can really vary. Other things that I think would be more interesting to try that I never have is like a book club, because that's very conversational. And I think it's more intimate and small and it's conversational. I think that would be cool. But also this girl that worked at the coffee shop that I said went to my school, we were like chatting and she was talking about things to do. And she was like, well, I don't know if you like to craft, but my friend does a craft club and they meet on Sundays. And she was like,
the world is healing.
Right. And she was like, she makes it really accessible. Like she'll buy all the materials and stuff. And like, you don't really have to be good at anything. They just like do different crafts. So there's a lot of options and you can definitely find people and things for you.
Probably more than you think. But again, the only way you find these like small things, and run clubs kind of give the same energy of how I'm picturing like seeking out a big group sanctioned event. It's a big group sanctioned event where, I'm sure there are so many people that are going there and are open to meeting friends, but it's so intimidating because there is more of an expectation and more of like rules or a structure around it. However, a lot of these things, if you continue showing up to a gym, there's less structure. So it's not going to be like, I went here, I made this friend, we left friends. Like, which is probably not going to happen at a run club either, but it's less structured and you're going to have to be really patient to do so. But think about all the times that you've consistently showed up to the gym or to like a workout studio and you, even class, like in school, you know, you sit next to someone the first week or two, a lot of people are probably not going to be striking up conversation, but slowly, you know, you talk to each other.
Yeah.
And then
you have like class friends and school friends.
Oh, I love that. Miss that.
And then by the end of the semester, you feel like you like just started vibing with people and like having fun and then it's over. But
yeah, but a lot of these other things, when you're building a third space, it's not like a run club where it's sanctioned. It's just a space you go and you feel comfortable and you make more connections. And out of that, you can create friendships, or you don't even have to create friendships. It just creates some sort of social aspect in your day, regardless of if that goes further or goes anywhere else. It's still beneficial at surface level. You show up, you make conversation with a stranger, even if you never see them again. It's also such good practice for just like being confident and being chill and enjoying your life. Today, I was sitting at a coffee shop working and it was two mini tables, but then there was like a bench that fit both tables. So I was sitting on one. And then while I was sitting there, this guy came up and said, hey, can I sit there? And the bench was very wobbly. He sat down, it was like a seesaw. And he was like, oh my God. And then I was like, wait, that's so funny. So we were joking about that. I was like, no, I've sat at so many of these seats here and they're all wobbly and like slanted. Uh-huh. I almost fell off of that chair. Did we speak again? No, I got up and left and that was fine. But I was like, wait, that was a funny interaction. Yeah. Like I liked that. Now I'm moving about my day. That was a little burst of a joke. Like I laughed. That was hilarious. And then I was like, wait, if I get up, is the whole thing going to flip? But even things like that, like you don't have to approach these things with the expectation of my life is going to change entirely when I do this. Uh-huh. No, it could just literally be you enjoy it. You learn something from it or you hate it and you move on. Like a lot of these things, but there are so many different third spaces that you may not expect. So I think the crafting groups and like book clubs and the smaller things that aren't a large sanctioned marketed event are probably the places where you're going to make the strongest connections and continue going to, but they're really hard to find because your friend down the streets or your neighbor's book club, it's not going to be like a publicized marketed event. It's going to be completely word of mouth and just like, oh, I'm going to this. Do you want to come with me? It's those kinds of things that will make a longer lasting impression rather than a run club. So if you feel intimidated by a run club or something of the sort, like 100% I would too. And that's okay. But there are other places like a dog park too. I was thinking people that have dogs, one, it's obviously a good conversation starter and you have something in common, one thing in common. And that's probably
you know,
a place that
you're
going to
even your own neighborhood if you walk your dog the same route at the same time. Like when we're walking the dog at home, mom knows everyone in the neighborhood with a dog and I don't.
Well, now you're walking and they're like, is that Stanley?
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Yeah, but then I'm like, our neighbor with Dutch down the street. I don't know. I don't really know anything about her, but like say hi to her every day. I'm like, how are you? Blah, blah.
I'm like, I feel like we'd be loyal to each other. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Like a pickup basketball game or, you know, people play pickleball. I feel like people or tennis. People just show up to
those
sports.
When I was in New York,
sports.
People were playing pickup soccer. Remember I said that and Rebby recognized a guy?
Yeah. It's not marketed or thought of as I'm going to this event to meet people. But I think the underlying thought is, hey, I'm going to go and like connect and hang out with these people. And I also like playing basketball and I also like playing soccer or I also like playing pickleball, or they do chess on the side of the street in New York and different cities. You know, there's so many of these things. If a sport isn't your interest or something, I'm sure people play music in different places or like an open mic night.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're still in school, like club sports, not even club sports, but like pickup games at school, because I have so many guy friends who don't even know each other, but they're like, oh yeah, we've played soccer together before. Like I can think of so many, a handful, and I'm like, I know you guys have all overlapped at like some pickup soccer game before because you referenced it, even though you're like my friends from separate groups and stuff, you know.
But again, a lot of this we're talking about is like connection and social aspects, but the underlying idea is that we're doing this and we're having these social interactions and social connections in a place that we go consistently. Consistency helps a lot with that. Not only does it help with like meeting people and building that third space and building that community and getting comfortable becoming a regular somewhere, but it also helps maintain and help grow that. So not only does it get your foot in the door, but it helps you really stick your foot in.
Yeah.
Like it helps you really solidify that. And it's also just enjoyable. Like it's so much more, like Karen was saying, in New York, it was kind of almost chaotic to go to a new place every single time. It's so nice to go to the same place quite frequently.
Yeah, that feels because, familiar.
You know, it's familiar.
I don't like waking up every day and being like, where am I going to get my coffee? Yeah. Where am I going to sit? Where am, you know, like decision what train fatigue. Do I have to take and where am I going to go? Like it's decision nice to be fatigue. Familiar with it.
Which again, I think like I'm a huge believer of decision fatigue and like choice breeds apathy. And I just simplify your life as much as you can to make it more for you. Less is more. So what are we actually going to do about it? We're obviously in a new space. We're not here for that long, but I think it has benefited me so much to just like slow down and be okay going to the same places every time. Granted, we're here for we're traveling for long enough that that's okay. Obviously, if we're somewhere for like a weekend,
yeah,
I'm not going to go to the same place 6 times.
Yeah. No, but it's what I want right now. And like, I have to feel okay with being like, I am trying not to treat these location changes as like a vacation. And I really am just trying to like settle into a routine and a life for a little bit. You know, people are like, oh, where have you explored in San Diego? What have you seen? And I'm like, to be fair, like
my neighborhood.
I joined a gym. I'm walking the beach. I'm walking around the neighborhood. I found a couple coffee shops. I'm working. Like, sure, we've tried different restaurants and we've driven to like a couple different locations. And like this morning, I wanted to go to a run in a different spot. But, you know, for the most part, I'm really seeking like consistency more than I am needing to see every single different thing,
which I think is huge. And you can have a mix, but it just creates
and then
some
I say that but I'm also
with,
like, maybe I'll go to Hawaii next. So, you know,
the other thing I think is huge when you become comfortable somewhere, when you actually have a third space, is that you put your phone down. Because say you go to a new coffee shop, you're not used to it, you're not comfortable, like you're gonna use the crutch of picking your phone up or like looking down or not, you know, just like feeling slightly uncomfortable, slightly off, which is totally normal the first time you go somewhere. But when you do get comfortable somewhere, you're probably just not gonna look at your phone that often. And this is such a minor change. And again, every day I get closer to those damn phones. You're probably just going to do more active work rather than passively going on your phone. You're going to do more active things and use your brain in more active ways. And this is kind of related to the brain fog episode I did. Being more intentional and using your brain more in ways that isn't just numbing it by a screen or numbing it by something else is so helpful, even if it's in small doses.
Mm-hmm.
It sets you up for more engaged thinking. It sets you up for more. And I go through so many phases where I'm like, I'm so tired. My brain is done. Like I can't even form a sentence. But the times when I help clear that, clear the brain fog, clear the like slow cognitive function, I feel like a completely different person. So if you're showing up to these places like that more often, you're going to feel so much better about yourself. You're going to feel so much more confident about yourself. You're going to feel and like be smarter. And the benefits are so much greater than just like social or immediate positivity, which those are huge things. But I think even when you leave that third space, even when you leave like that social interaction or, you know, that external thing that you did that wasn't at your house or wasn't at work or wasn't going to the same friend's house that you go to all the time and doing the same thing that you do in a negative way all the time, you know, but those benefits will stay with you. You're going to have more energy. You're going to be more, you know, thoughtful. You're going to be more confident. You're going to be more social and probably be more helpful on the street. Like, think about if you're walking past someone and they're like taking a selfie. How often do you stop and offer, can I take that? Do you want me to take the photo for you? You're probably, if you're not in the mindset of just like being open to people and being open to things, you're probably just going to keep your head down and move past. I did that the other day and it haunts me. I wish I offered to take someone's photo. But all of those things, even just like small interactions, if you practice and slowly get more comfortable doing these things, you're going to be more open no matter what you do, whether it's at work helping people, whether it's, and that selfishly, like take these benefits selfishly, will help how much you enjoy your day and how much you get out of your day and how much you can help other people. Mm-hmm. But if you need a selfish reason to go to a third space and get out of the house, let this be it.
Yeah. There is so much power in doing literally one singular thing that puts you a little bit outside of your comfort zone and getting a slight confidence boost from it. That's like addicting. You take that with you into everything else. I think that is why, that's like why Catherine and I like to work out and why I think a lot of people like the gym and stuff is because like it is one place where you build so much shit that you then take with you into the rest of your life. Like, it's very character building to, one, have the discipline to show up and the confidence to do it. But then you also, like, build physical strength, and you might be talking to people, and it just makes you feel, like, leveled up in all ways. And you really, like, take that with you in everything. And so there's a lot of power in sparking one conversation, getting out of your comfort zone every day, however you can, showing up to something alone and talking to people, trying something new you've never tried before. The more you do those things, the more you're like, oh, wow, like, there's a whole life full of choices that I can do, make, and things that I can do. And yeah, I mean, it's a hard feeling to articulate, but I think you know the feeling that when you do one thing that makes you feel confident out of your comfort zone, it really snowballs into, like, wow, there's so much I can and want to do. It's very motivating.
Yeah. So as we go into this week, I hope you guys either appreciate the third space you have or try and seek out and try and explore new third spaces and new opportunities to connect with different people and different things and try different places, because I think it's so huge. And this, you don't have to, like, doesn't have to be, I'm gonna go try a new gym and, like, get a membership somewhere. There are so many free spaces. Think, like, the dog park, the park, going to the beach, going for a walk around your neighborhood and slowly connecting with people. Like, there are so many things that are so accessible that we just a lot of times don't take advantage of, which this is your reminder and my reminder to take advantage of those things.
So thank you guys so much for listening. This was a really fun episode. I'm motivated to get outside after this. As always, make sure you're following the show wherever you listen, on Spotify or Apple. Send this episode to a friend who might like it. You can find us on socials at Caroline Kanin.
At Anne Catherine Kanin.
And at Girls with Goals Pod is where we post all of our podcast info and clips and updates and fun stuff over on Instagram. So all of that is always linked in the description of the show. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening and being here. And we'll see you next Monday. Bye.